Live from Las Vegas, Nevada, at the KSHP Studios, this is the Michelle Mortensen Show with your host, Michelle Mortensen, the fresh and fearless voice of talk radio, taking on the liberal media, the political hacks, and so much more. It's time to nix the narrative and get to the truth the way only Michelle can. Now, here's your host, the fresh, fiery, and factual voice of politics and news, eight-time Emmy winner, Michelle Mortensen.
Hello and happy Friday to you. Yes, it's Friday. The weekend is finally here. I'm excited about it. I hope you're excited about it. You know what? I just got a news alert on my phone that Vice President Kamala Harris and Bill Clinton, they've started their little, you know, shindig together, empowering young women. I am so excited that that's happening because, like I've said many times this week, no one says empowering young women like Bill Clinton. Right? Am I right about that? So insane. It's just so sad that Andrew Cuomo wasn't available. We'll talk about Andrew Cuomo and so much more a lot later. A lot of you coming in right now because, yes, it's our last show on Facebook, on YouTube, and Twitter. Why? Because censorship sucks, and I'm tired of it. I'm sure you're tired of it, too. It's happening every single week we do the show, so we're going to a place where censorship does not happen. It's called Grabit TV, grabit.com. You can check it out. We're going to talk about that a little bit later in the show, because right now I think we got to talk about what everybody's talking about, right? I mean, how can you do a talk show if you're not talking about what people are talking about? And everyone's talking about that Joe Biden press conference. Did you watch it? Of course not. It was at 2 p.m. Eastern, like 11 a.m. here on the West Coast. Most of you were working, you know, doing other things. And you said, hey, you know what? I'll just tune in later, see what the news had to say about what happened. Sadly, a lot didn't happen. It was boring. It was horrible. It was terrible. And Biden had to use a lot of notes. Take a look for yourself.
Okay. Hang on. Sorry. Oh, Sing Ming, Ms. Kim.
Yep, that's kind of how it went.
Let me look here.
Do you wonder what was on those notes? Well, we've got pictures now. So on some of the notes, it was literally pictures of the reporters numbered like, call this one first, Grandpa Biden. Their name's Jill. So he could figure out who he needed to talk to. The other note that he had, which is kind of the more concerning one, is literally one that was typed out with like bullet points. Say this if they ask about China. Say this if they ask about North Korea. Say this if they ask you about, you know, anything. Because he really is quite forgetful. We actually saw how he forgets what he's saying in mid-sentence when someone asked him about the filibuster. Take a listen.
As you observed, I'm a fairly practical guy. I want to get things done. I want to get them done consistent with what we promised the American people. And in order to do that, in a 50-50 Senate, we've got to get to the place where I get 50 votes so that the Vice President of the United States can break the tie, or I get 51 votes without her. And so I'm going to say something outrageous. I have never been particularly poor at calculating how to get things done in the United States Senate. So the best way to get something done, if it holds near and dear to you that you like to be able to, anyway.
I'm going to say something outrageous right now. Anyway, how bad is that? Like, he couldn't even keep his train of thought. And, you know, he can't remember what he said last week in an interview and what he said in the past. Because in regards to the filibuster, this one's going to blow your mind. He started out by saying, yeah, filibuster, totally racist. That's a Jim Crow thing. We need to get that sucker out of here. It's the worst. Yet, in an interview with George Stephanopoulos, like literally 2 weeks ago, he said, I'm all for the filibuster. I just want it to be the speaking kind of filibuster. Oh, now he doesn't want that at all, because now that he's president, he's like, oh, I want to get rid of that because I just want, you know, everything to be pushed through my way. No bipartisanship whatsoever. By the way, to everyone saying that the filibuster is racist, that is categorically false. There's nothing racist about choosing to speak ad nauseum about a bill in an effort to slow it down and make it not happen. That there's nothing racist about that. Have racists used it in the past? Sure. That doesn't mean then that it's racist. Here, get this too, just to talk about the filibuster for 1 second, then we're out of here. Reverend Al Sharpton said today that he is going to basically pressure Manchin and Sinema into doing what they want, or he's going to call them racists and start a media campaign against them saying they're racist, because that's what we've amounted to these days. Oh yeah, it's fabulous. So was anything really like hugely announced at this press conference? The biggest bomb drop was that our 78-year-old president says he's going to run for re-election in 4 years. Take a listen.
You made some news by saying that you are going to run for re-election.
I said that is my expectation.
So is that a yes that you are running for re-election?
Look, I don't know where you guys come from, man. I've never been able to travel. I'm a great respecter of fate. I've never been able to plan 4.5, 3.5 years ahead for certain.
And if you do run, will Vice President Harris be on your ticket?
I would fully expect that to be the case. She's doing a great job. She's a great partner.
And do you believe you'll be running against former President Trump?
Oh, come on. I don't even think about it. I have no idea. I have no idea whether it'll be a Republican Party.
Okay, so much to unpack there in this one. I can't believe that he thinks at 82, he should be running for office again, when right now he really can't do anything. He can't even speak in a press conference and get the words out correctly. Number two, what the heck were these reporters thinking? I mean, that's the type of question you ask. So you say you're going to run again. Is Kamala Harris going to be on that ticket? So you say you're going to run again. Do you think you'll run against Donald Trump? Woo! That is earth-shattering questions. I mean, it's not like there's more important things going on here with China, with Russia, with North Korea, with the border, but that's what you're going to focus on. Cool. Gotta love these freaking reporters. He also said something. I didn't know if I was going to run this up, but I'm going to do it. He also said something very, very peculiar in this press conference, that he has a ton of Republican voter support. Take a listen.
I would like elected Republican support. But what I know I have now is I have electoral support from Republican voters. Republican voters agree with what I'm doing.
No, they don't. Republican voters do not agree with anything that you're doing. In fact, only about 13% of Republicans who've been polled have said they agree with anything that you're doing. And didn't you in that last clip we just played said at the very end that you don't even think there's going to be a Republican Party? That you think the Republican Party is going to go away? Well, it actually could. I mean, at this rate, let's be honest, with that stupid HR1, SR1 for the people bill and everything we're doing with voting and trying to make DC a state. I mean, hey, the Republican Party might get obliterated here by the Democrats, because they're not just going to take an inch. They're going to freaking take a mile during this Biden administration. It is absolutely insane. And as you can see, he couldn't even keep his story straight in that 1 hour and 2 minute press conference that he did there, where he took questions from only 10, count them, 10 reporters. So sad. So did anyone ask about the border? Oh boy, howdy did they. My favorite questions from these reporters were, Joe Biden, you're just so kind and good and wonderful. Take a listen.
Perception of you that got you elected as a moral, decent man is the reason why a lot of immigrants are coming to this country and entrusting you with unaccompanied minors. How do you resolve that tension?
Does anybody suggest that there was a 31% increase under Trump because he was a nice guy and he was doing good things at the border? That's not the reason they're coming.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. He also later was just like patting himself on the back, like, hey, people like me. I'm super nice. That's why everyone's here. That is categorically false. That is not why people are coming. They're not coming because Joe Biden's such a great guy. It's because on the campaign trail, he told people to surge the freaking border and that he wouldn't turn them away. That's the fact. And then he lied and said, oh, we're turning the majority away, where you can go to Customs and Border Patrol's government websites right now and find out that factually only about 13% are being sent back. 13%. That is not the majority. So he lied. I can't tell you how many times the mainstream media just said, Trump lies, Trump lies, Trump's a liar, Trump's a liar. Fact check, fact check, fact check. Yet during this entire press conference, no one bothered to fact check the dude once. And we just let him lie after lie after lie. And we let him be a little prissy pants. Because when some reporters had the audacity to say, hey, I want to ask you a question. Like, we're seeing little kids at the border, not 17-year-old teens, like 9-year-olds. Do you think this is acceptable? This is how he responded.
Is what's happening inside acceptable to you? And when is this going to be fixed?
That's a serious question, right? It's acceptable to me. Come on. That's why we're going to be moving 1,000 of those kids out quickly.
Wasn't he just snotty to a reporter? He kind of was. Yet that same reporter went on TV later that day and gushed all over how it's just so nice that everything's so polite and kind now. And we weren't attacked relentlessly the whole time. He just mocked you. He just mocked you. Now, there was one reporter with balls there. One. Her name's Kirsten Welkler. She works for NBC. And she flat out called him out on the fact that he's not letting the press down there. Take a listen.
In the conditions that were just laid out at the migrant facilities at the U.S. border, will you commit to allowing journalists to have access to the facilities that are overcrowded moving forward?
I will commit when my plan very shortly is underway to let you have access to not just them, but to other facilities as well.
How soon will journalists
be able to have access to the facilities? We've obviously been allowed to be inside one, but we haven't seen the facilities in which children are packed together to really give the American people a chance to see that. Will you commit to transparency on this issue?
I will commit to transparency. And as soon as I am in a position to be able to implement what we're doing right now, and one of the reasons I haven't gone down, my chief folks have gone down, is I don't want to become the issue. I don't want to be, you know, bringing all the Secret Service and everybody with me to get in the way.
Okay. There was a lot to unpack there once again, but the most important thing was what he said there towards the very, very end. Yeah, I'll let you down. When it's ready. When it's ready. When did the press become so compliant that they said, oh, we don't demand access now? Oh, we'll let you fix everything. We'll let you put bandages up. We'll let you put little heart stickers up everywhere to show us what you want us to see instead of what's really going on. Huh, that's interesting. Man, that free and fair press is just really, really showing its muscle these days, isn't it? No, it's ridiculous. The fact that they're letting down one pool camera down there to see one facility, the nice facility, so you don't see kids in cages, so that you don't see kids lined up one right after the other in little metal foil blankets, so you don't see any of that. That's what they're doing. And you know what? You're totally okay with it. Do you want to know how I know you're okay with it? Because you don't even act like you care. Where's the outrage? Where's the freaking outrage? Because Trump did anything at all. And y'all were all over him. All over him. Remember Time Magazine? They had that awful picture of Trump and this little kid there. And we said, oh, see, Trump separated kids at the border from their parents. He's awful and inhumane. That wasn't even true because that picture was photoshopped and the child was with his mommy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, Biden also lied throughout the press conference, saying that this is all Trump's fault, that Trump created a mess, that Trump didn't do anything to help the surge of migrants. Now, that is also 110% true. I covered that extensively on a What You Need to Know earlier this week, and we're going to play a little clip for you right now. Here are the facts that Trump did a heck of a lot to prepare things for Biden. Take a listen. But you know what? I actually think facts matter. So I'm going to dish some out.
That's why I love you, girl.
Like this little fun fact. Did you know when Trump took office, President Obama left him with 8,400 beds for asylum seekers? And Trump thought we needed more, so he added almost 5,000 beds during his time in office. Trump also added beds at ICE. He was given 30,000 beds, but he brought that number up to 50,000 beds. Trump also built two larger permanent holding facilities in Yuma and El Paso. He added 5 tent camps to handle the surge in 2019. And when Border Patrol wanted to replace those with permanent facilities, it was actually the Democrats in Congress who shot that down, saying they didn't want to spend money on it. So is Trump to blame for this border crisis? Oh, no, he's not. You know who is to blame? Democrats and the Biden administration. And that's pure fact. And no one is reporting it because everyone in the media is just so thrilled and beside themselves that Trump is no longer here and we don't have to have his mean stinking tweets, that they are letting the Biden administration get away with everything. So since no one else will tell you the truth, here's the truth. We didn't have a surge at the border until Biden became elected. We have so many kids being dropped off at the border to just cross on over so they can stay here forever that we don't know what to do with ourselves. We don't even have places to put them. We're opening up the Dallas Convention Center, military bases. Who cares? Let's just take them all in. Meanwhile, your tax dollars are being used to feed and house these kids and send them to school when many of your kids can't even go to school 5 days a week. By the way, what are we doing for the homeless in America? Great question. Nothing. By the way, what are we doing to improve healthcare in this country so that if you get cancer, you can go to a doctor? Oh, that's right. Nothing. What are we doing to improve our roads, bridges, and dams? That's right. Nothing. What are our tax dollars being used for? To pretend like we're freaking humanitarians that are super woke, that we're going to let people in from other countries without checking them one iota, that we're just the open borderland where anybody can come in. We don't care. It's ridiculous and sad. And if you were using your brains and not just breathing in constant freaking propaganda, maybe you would know that. You know, I've got a lot of critics out there who are like, Michelle, you're so biased. Michelle, you never say anything mean about Republicans. People who say that don't know me at all because I rip on them all the time. Stay tuned. I'm going to do it in the next block. And number two, someone has to actually tell the truth. Just because I am and that offends you is not my problem. The fact that you want propaganda and to be spoon-fed everything because you can't even sit down and listen to the president speak for an hour. Trust me, I know it's hard. He's super boring. It's not my fault, but y'all's. If you want the truth, you actually have to dig for it. And guess what? You're going to offend people with the truth because the truth always does offend. It's much easier and simpler to believe the lie. But not on this show. The truth is just going to knock you out. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk about my favorite, Jack Dorsey of Twitter. We're going to talk about spring break, the upcoming State of the State, and so much more. So don't move a muscle. We'll be right back.
How many times has this happened to you? You're driving with your purse, your laptop bag, your grocery bag, or your backpack in the seat next to you, and it's on the floor after you stop or hit a quick turn. Well, we experienced this issue too, and we created a solution. Introducing Bagmodo, an easy-to-install, one-step process that fits seamlessly under any standard headrest and stores securely under the headrest. Bagmodo becomes a natural extension of your vehicle and helps stop your stuff from falling on the floor. Now you can secure your items systematically and effortlessly. keeping you from being a distracted driver, which, let's face it, is a huge problem these days. Bagmoto is the ultimate driver-centric product that doesn't distract drivers and helps keep everyone in the vehicle safe. For more information, go to bagmoto.com. That's bagmodo.com. Bagmoto, the easy-to-install, one-step process to stop your stuff. You are
you know, it's all that great music I play in between the breaks that gets me in all the trouble with Facebook and YouTube. Even though we pay for the licenses, their little algorithms, they just go and say, block, 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 block first, check later. And it infuriates me, part of the reason why we're leaving. Let's talk about social media for a minute, though, can we? Because yesterday was Groundhog Day on Capitol Hill. Once again, we decided to hold a hearing over in Congress to find out what's really going on with those social media companies. And once again, nothing happened. Republicans asked a whole bunch of questions like, what if you ban Donald Trump? And Democrats said, why do you spread fake news? And you made that January 6th riots happened. And Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube said, it's not our fault. We're doing the best we can. And basically nothing happens, because if Congress was ever going to get off its ass and do something, well, I'd dye my hair pink. That's how sure I am they're not going to do anything. But what I really was taken aback by was the huge transformation we've seen with Jack Dorsey over the years. Let's take a look at Jack. So this was Jack back in the day when he was like, I think I want to be a Beatle metrosexual. He had his little hair, kind of clean cut beard. That was old school Jack. Then there was, I want to be Tom Hanks Castaway Jack. He's like, I want a beard. I'm really into ZZ Top right now. You know, this is my look. Where's Wilson? And then we saw a whole new Jack yesterday. Woo! That is what you called, I'm pushing 50, trying to look cool. So I buzzed my head, but I still got the ZZ Top beard. No. All those Jack looks are so bad. And I'm just done with Jack. Aren't you done with Jack? You know who else is done with Jack? Chrissy Teigen. Oh my God. If we could have an applause button right now, I think we'd have to hit it, because that basic B is gone. Yeah, she left Twitter, and I don't really care, but evidently, you know, the world does. And they thought that anything she had to say was relevant. It never has been, never will be. And she's gone. I guess she just really wanted to follow in Donald Trump's footsteps. She learned that, you know, sending out press releases is far more effective than Twitter. So that's what she's going to do now. So funny. Also, no one really reported on this. This was like the quiet story of the week. But I believe it was on Saturday or Sunday. Donald Trump made a huge announcement that he's coming back to social media, not via Twitter, not via Facebook, not via Instagram or YouTube, but he's planning on launching his own social media network. It's allegedly going to be huge, and where all the Republicans are going to go. All the Republicans are going to go. And look, just like that, Spence. Yeah, the Facebook trolls and YouTube trolls have come after us, because we dared play music. That's why we're leaving the platform, because it's what they do to us every single time. It's frustrating. We can watch it like clockwork now, and it's annoying. Oh, don't you know? All right. While we are getting ourselves back up on everything, but I think Twitter is the only thing we're on right now. Yay, Twitter. You're the only ones who aren't willing to block us. It was Sony this time. Sony. Yay, Sony. Love you so much. But this exactly, you know, the next thing I was going to talk about for those who are still with us and weren't kicked off by Facebook, we're leaving because of this. We pay for music licenses and Facebook's algorithm, YouTube's algorithm is constantly kicking us off. That's why we are refusing to do anything more on the social media platforms that are all about the dang censorship. If we pay for the right to be on, if we pay for the right to play the music, you shouldn't censor us. But that's what they continually do. That's why we're going to Grabit TV, because Grabit TV is free from censorship. Yes, I understand. I am the founder of Grabit TV. Yay me. But at the end of the day, this is important, because if you are sick and tired of being censored, you should support this too, because censorship sucks and it needs to stop. It absolutely needs to stop. It is absolutely disgusting, and I'm frustrated and annoyed with it, and I hope you are too. On that note, Grabit TV is not just a platform where it's like, oh, all of Michelle's shows. No, no. We have all sorts of shows on Grabit TV. We have everything from inspirational to comedy to, you know, Star Wars shows. We got it all, car shows, everything. We also have a great show called State of the State. This is really for Nevadans, exclusively for Nevadans. You can watch it if you're not a Nevadan, but why would you want to? And this week's episode is particularly good, if I do say so myself. Here's a little tease.
Turn down for what?
Vegas pools are popping. But the state house is closed. This week on State of the State, we find out why.
The building is closed, but certainly access to the building is not.
My interview with Democrat Assemblyman Steve Yeager on that, criminal justice reform, and why Republican bills aren't being heard.
I'm hearing the Republican bills that I can hear, but a lot of them I don't think are good policy.
Plus guns! Carson City and D.C. are coming for him.
It's terrible.
Any sort of gun control are only going to affect law-abiding citizens like you and me.
And a can't-miss debate on racism in Nevada.
I don't care about Aunt Jemima being canceled. I don't care about Uncle Ben's being canceled. The truth is, I want to be able to walk down the street listening to my music in my headphones and not get choked out by a cop because someone called them and said, there's a crazy black guy.
That and so much more on this week's State of the State. Friday on Grabit TV. I really do hope you'll check that show out, because I think it's an important episode. You know, already as we've been promoting the show on social media platforms, yes, I know, hypocrite, I've had, you know, certain conservatives say, this whole racism thing is a lie, I'm so angry, blah, blah, blah. Listen, listen, I'm going to do y'all a huge favor here. Quit saying something is a lie just because you disagree with it, and maybe listen to what we did on the show. Because we had a really, really frank discussion on the show about what's going on with racism. We have a frank discussion on the show on how for a week last week, mainstream media told you that there were Asian hate crimes happening in Atlanta because an idiot went on a shooting spree there and 6 of the 8 victims were Asian. Even though the director of the FBI said, hey, we've done there's no evidence that this was a hate crime. And we had people like Senator Tammy Duckworth say, I don't believe you, FBI. I know better. It was a hate crime. Really? Really? You had media questioning cops over and over and over again, where the cops are like, yeah, dude, like, not a hate crime. We couldn't find any evidence of that. Well, we say it is. Oh, really? Really? And Anwar, who was a part of that panel, brought up some really great points on how cancel culture is just a freaking band-aid to this whole racism issue. That people are canceling everything to say, look, we're woke. Look, we're not racist. When you're really trying to avoid the issue that, yes, there are some racist people out there, but you know what isn't racist? Aunt Jemima, Dr. Seuss, our Uncle Ben's. It was really, really, really important. And most shows today won't have conversations like that. But as you already know, I'm a brave chick. I'll put it out there. We also talked about the elephant in Nevada's room as to why the Las Vegas pools are open. And let me tell you, Las Vegas pools are really open. Really open. So, you know, the beginning of March Madness, this was the Cirque pool, you know, the stadium swim where you can, you know, obviously see women in scantily clad bikinis. And you stand around and bet and see what's going to happen in March Madness and not wear a mask or any of that stuff. And it's just like totally okay. I love it. I mean, it's everywhere. I don't care. See, look at me posing and I'm so hot. I just want all the men to see me. This is what is going on there in Las Vegas. It is ridiculous. It is stupid. And yes, I'm making fun of it right now. Well, at the same time, I'm honestly saying thank the Lord because we need more people to come to Vegas. Yes, I'm a hypocrite on many, many levels because I like that they're here. I also want to mention, though, and I think I forgot to tell you to play this one, Spence, so I'm going to hit it. I also want to mention that people are taking notice that even though Vegas is supposed to be 50% open, we've kind of told Governor Sisolak a big screw you because the president and CEO of MGM was actually on Fox News yesterday. And he said, oh, screw that 50%. We're at 90%. Take a listen.
How are things looking right now in Vegas? You can have things filled up to 50% capacity. Is that it?
No, look, I pull off of your comments this past weekend, obviously the start of March Madness, spring break, we were over 90 in almost all of our resorts.
Wow.
And so, you know, we're getting back to volumes that even last October we didn't get to.
Oh, look at that. Do you think Sisolak's going to send his, you know, Gestapo police, mask police and all that to the MGM places to, penalize them? No. What is he going to do? God, could we find a small business or local restaurant that's not a chain and screw them? Yes, that's exactly what Steve Sisolak will do. Because you know who's the head of the COVID response team? It's the former head of MGM. Mind blown. I'm going to blow your mind some more. By the way, all week, you saw a bunch of people being like, there's spring breakers in Miami. They're the devil. No, they were just trying to have a good time because you've locked up innocent kids for a year and told them they had to wear a mask and not see their friends. So they're about to lose it out there in Florida. But I also want to mention that really bad things do happen. In fact, one spring breaker, a young woman, she went down there. She was freaking murdered. Who was she murdered by? Well, these two a-holes, because they thought it was a good idea to slip her a pill, take her back to her hotel, rape her, steal her credit cards, and leave her there where she then died. Yep. So I don't really give a rat's patoot about spring breakers twerking in the middle of the streets in Miami. What I do give a rat's patoot about is people who think criminal behavior is okay, and we often just give it a pass because we would rather talk about non-stories on the mainstream media about how Dr. Seuss is racist and where's Chrissy Teigen on Twitter than things that actually matter. You need to call out the fact that all media right now is propaganda media, and there are very few shows out there like this one that will just tell you like it is over and over. I've got to tell you about two more important things because it's really important. Vote reform. We're talking about voter reform constantly these days. They want to make universal voting. We don't want to be able to say that elections are bad anymore. We don't want to be able to call elections into question. No. We don't want to overturn election results. Oh. Really? Because that's exactly what the Democrats are doing. Have you heard about this? No? Take a listen. It's the Iowa. Do you see it? I'll do it. Okay. Now I want to play a little game with you. What if I told you one political party wanted to take an elected politician out of office, claiming the election wasn't fair and that the results were wrong? Okay. Now here's where the game comes in. What party is doing this?
It's the Republicans.
All right, everyone who said Republicans, you lose, because Democrats want to unseat an Iowa congresswoman who won by 6 votes, saying it should have gone to the Democrat, even though the votes have been certified and she's been serving for months. But see, the Democrats say there just wasn't enough time to go to court or to prove their case.
Typical.
Now, hopefully all the smart folks watching realize this is hilarious because the Democrats are doing everything they accuse Donald Trump of doing.
Why do they do that?
Yet it's evidently totally okay with mainstream media and really all Americans because you know what? Democrats always get a pass, don't they? Don't they? Double standard. God, you love it. See, it's only wrong to say question election results or sexually harass someone or do blackface or trip up the stairs of Air Force One if you're a Republican. Democrats can do all of that. and totally get away with it.
So unfair.
Oh, and here's more proof of that. Okay, this is good. Governor Andrew Cuomo was getting heckled by a lady on the street in New York this weekend, saying, when are you going to resign? And here's what he said. He said, quote, I'm not going anywhere, darling. And literally no one in the press has covered it. Like no one. Because seriously, when you're a governor who's been accused of sexual harassment 7 times and then you refer to hecklers as darling, I mean, that is totally normal and not newsworthy at all.
I'm not going anywhere, bro.
Oh, God, and he's not going anywhere. And I know some of you are like, Michelle, we've already watched the show for 30 minutes, and you've hardly cracked a Cuomo joke at all. Well, I just gave you some, and I'm going to give you a few more. And because I'm tired of everyone telling me, I don't ever go after Republicans, when you all know I do, I'm throwing a little of that flavor in there, too, because let's introduce you to the other Cuomo scandal that's going on. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo facing more criticism today, this time for his elitist behavior. Apparently, Cuomo made sure his family members, including his brother, CNN anchor Chris Cuomo, had special access to COVID-19 tests at the start of the pandemic.
Gasp!
Which you may remember was a time when these tests were very, very scarce. Critics say this just further confirms Cuomo believes the rules do not apply to him or to his family. And think for a minute if this story was about a Republican doing, say, the same thing, like, you know, Ron DeSantis or Ted Cruz giving preferential treatment to themselves or their family. Well, there would be mass outrage, but there isn't this time because Democrats always get a pass.
They really do.
And I guess I should mention irrelevant Republicans also get a pass because Nevada Republican Adam Laxalt, whom everyone knows by now is a total fraud and failure, also abused his alleged power and authority demanding COVID-19 tests for himself last year in March after he was exposed to COVID attending CPAC. Laxalt went straight to Dr. Robert Redfield, who was the head of the CDC at the time, to demand a test.
I'm special.
Now, this was pretty unreported when it was discovered, and that's for one big reason. Laxalt's a nobody with no power. He's just an elitist snob who thinks he's somebody. Oh, and guess what? He's planning on running for the U.S. Senate in 22. So guess what? We've already lost that seat. Congrats on your re-election, Catherine Cortez Mastow. I'll end with this. Quit supporting assholes for office.
Gosh, yes, 1,000 times yes.
If you stop supporting them, we might actually win an election. But if you keep getting behind the Laxalts and Dan Rodimers of the world, we're doomed. And that's not hyperbole. It's literally proven fact.
She's right.
I so am. And if you've missed Dan Rodimer's latest video, where he's a bull rider now running for Congress in Texas, go to Twitter and check it out. Want to remind you, 2 months ago, he was a Nevadan who lost his race for Congress here. And I totally get why all you Republicans supported him. I mean, why wouldn't you support a stupid white man with money? I mean, you do that a lot for CD3. Danny Tarkanian. See, I am a bitch. I don't even deny it. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. I'm going to play some music that's probably going to get us banned again, a little Tom Petty Free Fallin'. And when we come back, we're going to really talk about some investments, the stock market, why it's all over the place. Are we going to see huge inflation? And what do you do if you invested all your money in Bitcoin and now you're like, oh God, what's happening? We're going to talk about all that with Scott Garlis. So don't go anywhere. Here's some Tom Petty.
The ugly face. Now let me see you make the ugly face.
scuba dive? Need swimming lessons for your kids? Then you need to check out Stone Sports in Las Vegas, right off Fort Apache and Tropicana. At Stone Sports, they teach the young and the young at heart. Whether you're looking for fun, fitness, or competition, Stone Sports is the place for you and your entire family. Give them a call today at 702-779-3021, 702-779-3021, or check them out online at stonesports.net. Stone Sports, where water safety and water fun meet.
Yeah, I like Taylor Swift. Sue me. I mean, I wish I didn't, but I do. You know who I really do like, though? I like Scott Gerlis. That's why I have him on the show all the time. He's with Stansberry Research, and he's all about the finance. And I know we've got lots of finance questions because the stock market's just crazy. So I often invite Scott back. Scott, thanks so much for joining us. Did I surprise you, Scott? You were going to be on last week. We had to postpone because you were doing spring break. We just did a little segment on spring break a minute ago. Maybe you saw it. But you were in Florida. Was it chaos there? Or is it, once again, the news making much ado about nothing?
I think it's the news picking an isolated incident, making a huge deal out of it. Where I was in Key West. We've been going there for about 20 years. It was probably the most packed we've ever seen it. And there weren't any cruise ships coming in. And it was very orderly.
Very more orderly than the Cirque pool. Did you see that? The Vegas pool. They were.
I did.
We were popping. All right. You know what else is popping lately? The stock market. It's popping up and it's popping down. It's all over the place. Literally no rhyme or reason. That's the stock market. We love it. But a little bit of that, does it have to do with interest rates? Because interest rates really are the devil in a lot of ways, and it really affects the stock market. And that's already people are going like, whoop, whoop, whoop over my head. What the heck are you talking about, Michelle? Let's bring it down into the most, you know, easy to digest way. What's going on?
Yeah, so there is actually a lot of rhyme and reason going on, but a lot of people wouldn't quite get it, and the reason is growth. And one of the big things going on here is that, you know, the vaccination campaign. We talked about this last time. A lot of people were questioning how quickly the economy is going to rebound, and they're worried about that. But the vaccination campaign has made a ton of headway. I believe the number is. As of last night, there's about 133 million people that have received at least one dose of a vaccine. And that means the economy is going to open back up. And that means we're going to see a shift back toward a more normal, quote unquote, normal pre-pandemic economy. And what that's bad for is that's bad for all these technology stocks that have benefited from work from home and learn from home environment, because it's going to be a lot harder for their sales to pick up going forward. They could be seeing, you know, what are possibly peak sales for the next few years just happen. So what we're seeing is major Wall Street investors are rotating out of these technology names that have benefited from that environment, and they're rotating back into more, you know, old economy names. They're leaning into those names like industrials, energy, banks. So that's why we're seeing the Dow Jones Industrial make new all-time highs. We're seeing the NASDAQ sell off, and we're starting to see the S&P. It's kind of been trading flat as there's been a reweighting going on, but now the S&P is starting to gather some steam as well.
Okay. I want to ask you a question about exit strategies as a result of that. Now, I know that, you know, Bitcoin investment is a little different than stock market investment, but, you know, last time we talked, you know, I made this decision. I was going to go in on Bitcoin. You go in on Bitcoin, you do it. You're all excited because there are these huge highs and then there's these huge lows, and people often, you know, they freak out, they pull out right away, whether it's Bitcoin or, you know, you're on the Dow, the NASDAQ, whatever. What is the exit strategy that as soon as it goes down, it's like, get the heck out of here, get your money and run? Or do you need to wait it out? Is it all based on your age? Like, how do you come up with an exit strategy? When's the time?
Yeah, sure. So a good time to have an exit strategy is always when things are going well. There's nothing like being prepared for when things go badly. So for me personally, I am invested in some cryptocurrencies as well. And my opinion on those is that is where the conversation is headed. That's going to take multiple years to play out. So I'm willing to be patient for quite some time. That's my thesis. I look at this sort of like compared a bit to electric vehicles. Young people, you know, the younger generation wants electric vehicles to happen. They're going to buy electric vehicles. So car makers are going to make electric vehicles for these people to purchase. I remember when I was 20 some years old, I talked about, I can't wait for things like a computer connected to my TV so I can watch my television, listen to music, stream movies all in the same place. And I remember when Netflix started, they mailed CDs to your, or DVDs to your, excuse me, to your house versus streaming. But again, so like all these things, cryptocurrencies are going to be the preferred way for, I think, the younger generation to pay going forward. So if you're getting into it now, you need to have a long-term horizon and realize that this is sort of the future of things. Another thing besides Bitcoin that is very interesting to me is Ethereum. Ethereum is a token that is necessary for any financial transactions that happen in the cryptocurrency space. You have to buy Ethereum first and convert it to other coins. In particular, central banks are going to use a coin called Quant. I don't want to get into the weeds too far, but you'll have to buy Ethereum first to convert into Quant. So that'll be a very good thing for Ethereum as central banks start using their own cryptocurrencies.
And I own Ethereum, so you've made me very happy. It's one of the things I chose to invest in as well. Yay, Michelle. Sometimes I hit it. Let's talk then a little bit about inflation, because if you watch a lot of, you know, Fox Business, CNBC, there's a lot of belief that, you know, we're going to see a huge trend toward inflation here. You actually don't agree with that, though.
I don't. And you know what? I realized really quickly, I apologize. One question I did not answer on the exit strategy thing. Everybody has different risk tolerances. A good risk tolerance to have might be put what's called a trailing stop, a 25 to 30% trailing stop on your investments. And that's from the peak level it reaches down 25 to 30%. If it hits that level, it's not a bad idea to just sell and wait for another day, because that could spare you from riding it to zero and getting too emotionally invested. Now, in terms of inflation, you know, it's a big debate right now that the economy is opening back up and that as growth picks up, inflation's going to pick up, and then interest rates are going to have to go higher because the only way a central bank can offset inflation is to raise interest rates. Now, I don't think inflation is going to be as massive of a problem as the media is hyping it to be. And one of the reasons I say that is right now we're headed into the second quarter of the year. In the second quarter of last year, we saw one of the worst GDP numbers this country has ever seen. So you're going into a period where the bar for inflation has been set incredibly low. It's going to be hard for inflation not to see signs of a gain. The following quarter, you're seeing one of the best quarters of growth that the country's ever seen. So that bar becomes higher. It's going to be hard for inflation to pick up ahead of that. So I think, again, as the economy opens back up, this money's been put out there. These things are going to happen where growth is going to pick up, but that is not going to be sustained. You know, tops, we're talking, I would think, 8 to 12 months. And then we see those numbers settle back down in the out years. And that's why we're hearing from the chairman of the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell, and Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen that, yes, inflation's going to pick up, but they're not worried about it being a long-term event. Look, the Fed started the inflation targeting in 2012. They have yet to hit the 2% inflation target. And now they're talking about sustained inflation going up to get back to 2%. Think about that as being like an average. So to get an average of 2% and you haven't hit it for 9 years, you've got a long runway to get up to 2%.
Okay, this is kind of an unexpected question, but it's my last question for you. I noticed that in the news cycle over the past week, we have seen this kind of socialist trend happening in major cities. Up in Illinois, they're working toward, you know, giving people, African-American individuals, reparations for slavery. Over in Oakland, California, low-income families of color will get now $500 a month, no strings attached, just to kind of like help them live. As we become more socialist, if you will, and we continue to give money to people based on their ethnicity or gender, et cetera, et cetera, and tell people, hey, you don't have to work. We're going to give you ways to survive. Is that the type of stuff that the market is going to react to in a way that's going to, you know, hurt all of us overall? Or when these things happen, does the market just like totally ignore it and say, hey, the socialism thing, it's never going to happen. We just ignore it. These are little pockets that happen in Oakland and Chicago and nobody else cares. What's the truth about that?
Yeah, no, you, it's a great question. And you hit on an excellent topic. The market does kind of, it's not that they're turning a deaf ear to it, but so one of the big things with what's going on with say the stimulus bills and giving these people all these checks, the market's actually looking at that as beneficial for the market. Like Deutsche Bank did a survey not too long ago heading into this $1.9 trillion bill that was passed. And the poll they took, 35% of all the people said they were going to take that money to invest it in the stock market or cryptocurrencies. And so the stock market looks at those things and they see that as, you know, that's going to drive the price of things like cryptocurrencies and stocks higher. So what they want to do is they want to invest in those items ahead of time so that they can benefit when those people invest in them down the road. So that's why, you know, again, you really want to think of like a money manager with your investments, and you want to think, where are things going to be 8 to 10 months from now, 2 years from now? And so when you're investing, you want to try to be investing for that environment. Now, I think economic growth is really going to pick up. We definitely are headed back toward old economy stuff. So I would want to have my investment right now in things like energy and banks. One of the big things for energy is not only the growth that we're seeing, but what people don't consider is some of President Biden's policies. What he's doing is like shutting down the Keystone XL pipeline, talking about possibly shutting down the Enbridge pipeline and the Dakota Access pipeline. What that does is it limits future oil supply. So as economic demand picks up and people are buying more gasoline, they need more oil to turn into gas. That's going to drive oil prices higher. And as you have less supply available, that's only going to throw fuel on the fire.
All right. Well, Scott, this was really, really interesting. Thanks for sharing all that with us. Hope to have you on again real soon. Have a great rest of your Friday. Okay.
I look very forward to it. You too.
All right. Have a good one. And we will be right back after this quick commercial break with cancel culture coming for Monopoly, muscle cars, toupees, Kylie Jenner. I mean, the list goes on and on. We'll talk about it when we come back.
I feel so sad. I feel so sad. I tried to help you.
Sell or buy a home? There's no one better than your Las Vegas neighborhood realtors, Melissa White Simmons and Tim Eaton of Urban Nest Realty. Melissa and Tim will meet your every need and go the extra mile to make sure you find the perfect house to call home. With Team Melissa White at Urban Nest Realty, you'll be taken care of every step of the way. Call Melissa and Tim today at 702-757-8605. That's 702-757-8605. License number 179020.
It doesn't matter if you're a bad negotiator.
What do we think? No.
If you dress to impress, or even under-impress. Because at CarMax, the price on the car is the same price for everyone. And comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. The way it should be. CarMax.
Cause I'm as free as
well, Lynyrd Skynyrd to get you in the Friday mood so you can be free as a bird this weekend. You can be as free as a jailbird the next time you play Monopoly, because Hasbro has evidently decided it wants to act quickly and not be canceled. So it's going to make some changes to its game. It's going to make some changes to the community chess cards. You know, in the past, you'd have to like go to jail or, you know, some other thing. Well, not anymore. Woke Hasbro has decided that they're going to change all the community chess cards. So instead of becoming second place in a beauty pageant and collecting $25, you're now going to see volunteer your art skills and point at a mural and paint a mural at a local school. Collect $50. You weed the community garden and discover our new bug. Name it something fun, then collect $25. Oh, yeah. No more pass and go. No more $200, because we just got to be too woke for all that. It's fabulous. Did you know that car clubs are a sign of toxic masculinity? I don't even know what toxic masculinity is. Look here. So basically over in Austin, Texas, I used to live there. Love it, love it, love it. They have decided that car clubs are just toxic masculinity because they're running around with their muscle cars and it's all about men. Blech. Listen, if we were in 1950s where they had how you sell cars to ladies and how you sell cars to manly men, like we're showing on the screen right now, maybe I would accept that nonsense. But have you been to a car club rally anytime soon? Like men and women go, men and women can both like fast cars. Men and women could like both like muscle cars. Why do we make everything about gender? Because I also thought, newsflash, I thought gender didn't matter. I thought we didn't have gender anymore. I thought we already did have equality and that women were actually better than men, right? Right. I get so confused. I can't really keep up and remember anymore. It's hard. It's hard. Do we have two genders? Do we have 12 genders? Do we have 100 genders? Can you be three genders at one time? All interesting questions that we'll have to answer on the next episode of Days of Our Lives. Speaking of Days of Our Lives, Kylie Jenner, she's that one. Everybody's mad at her. Why? Because she said, please go donate to my stylist's GoFundMe. She has to have a surgery and it's going to cost $60,000. Can you give her money? Meanwhile, Kylie gave her $5,000 herself. If you really loved your stylist, why would you ask your fans who already give you a ton of money to give you more money since you're a freaking billionaire? Why not just be the cool person and pay for her dang surgery? Trash, trash. What can I say? By the way, smuggling has changed. We're not just smuggling people across the border anymore. No, we're smuggling gold in our toupees. This is a real story. These men were, you know, trying to come into the country and they hid a bunch of gold in their toupees. So much gold, it was a whopping $382,000 worth of gold in their toupees. I wonder if now people who wear wigs and toupees will have to take them off when they go through TSA. Kind of how we have to take off our shoes because one dumbass decided to put some mixture in there to blow a plane up. Probably, who knows? All of you know that we're on Grab It TV and it's free for everyone because we're cool like that. But there's two other networks that are not cool like that at all. That would be the Peacock Network and the Paramount Network. Now, that doesn't mean that I might not support them for their 30-day trial. Why? Well, the Peacock Network is going to have this John Wayne Gacy Devil in Disguise like docuseries, which I have to watch this. I have to watch the serial killer who dressed up as a freaking clown and is a total freaking lunatic. Why did they get rid of Mindhunters on Netflix? Because I would have really liked them to go down this road. I might watch that. And I'm going to admit something that maybe is going to be kind of embarrassing here, but I did get the 30-day free subscription to Paramount because I really wanted to watch the Real World New York reunion. Yeah, I'm the one girl watching it. I remember seeing that show when I was like, I don't know, 11 or 12. And I had to sneak it because my mom wouldn't let me watch MTV because MTV was where the devil lives. But I just thought it was so cool. And I remember just thinking, Eric Nice was so hot. And, you know, Norm's so funny. And I loved it. And I'm watching the reunion every single Wednesday. And it's fabulous. And if you think that my show choices are great and you've enjoyed them, you can watch it too. But then go and subscribe to Grab It TV because we're free. More shameless plugs. I am now a regular guest on a cool show called Behind the Headlines with Karen Turk. I'm on every single week. I'm going to show you a little plug of me here in the past. That's one word for it. It stinks. It's absolutely ridiculous. We've gone loony. We've gone mad.
Yeah, we really have it. And, you know, it's no surprise. I mean, the left just continues this cancel culture narrative. And I almost see it now as almost being used as a PR stunt. Do you think in some ways this stuff is being used for PR now?
So that's just a little clip of one of the previous shows that I'm on. You can listen to it on iHeartRadio, your iHeartRadio app, every single Saturday. It's a show out of Florida. You can watch it on TV. We're going to try to bring it onto Grab It TV too. So that will be very, very cool. And again, my last plug for Grab It, because this is our last show on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, because as you saw, they love to censor us on this platform for some unknown reason. So we're just moving everything to Grab It because there it's at least, you know, uncensored. And that's what needs to happen. We need to stop the freaking censorship. If you're tired of censorship too, support these endeavors, not these crap stations you've never heard of who want $2.99 a month for you from shows that you've never seen or heard of before. It should all be free. Free for the people, free for you, free for me, free from censorship. Tell others about it. Sign up today. Watch our shows. It's going to be fun. And yes, I'll keep reminding you because we're going to be in our same time slot and all that good stuff. You're just going to go watch it on grabit.com. And if you're saying like, Michelle, why don't you have an app yet? Why is Grab It not an app? Why isn't it on Amazon TV? Hey, get me some investors and we'll be there before you know it. All right, y'all, have a fabulous Friday. I'll see you on Grab It TV. Bye-bye. I'm gonna get-